Welcome to the Divorce Survival Guide podcast, where we have open and honest conversations about co-parenting, separation, divorce, and the hardest question of all, should you stay or should you go? I'm Kate Anthony, your Divorce Survival Guide, and I'm here to help you navigate some of the roughest waters you've ever swum in and answer some of your toughest questions. I've been to hell and back. And now it's my mission in life to help you get to the other side of this process with your sanity and your heart intact.
Hey everyone, how you doing? So it's been a really long time since I have done a solo episode, and I've kind of been like, I don't know, what do I want to talk about? And I haven't really come up with anything very specific, but I just felt like I wanted to touch base with you guys and, say hi. You know, the most contact that I have with most of you, is in my Facebook group. And there's been a lot going on in there. There are a lot of changes that are coming to the group because it has gotten so big. And so we are really working, the mods behind the scenes, the moderators and admins and I are working really hard on implementing some changes so that we maintain the integrity of the group. And one of the things that's been coming up a lot recently is that a lot of posts are really, 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 really long. And I kind of want to address, and this is not necessarily for the Facebook group, this is a general thing, is that what we're finding is that when people come together in a forum where they're being heard for the first time sometimes in their lives, they want to share a lot of details, right? Because literally they haven't been heard in so long. And so this sort of feels like the first place that they can go where they're being heard, their experience is being held or mirrored back to them in some way and absorbed, almost like it's being absorbed, right? And when we want to get something off of our chest, like out of us, into a space that can hold and absorb it, it feels like, you know, it kind of feels life-changing. It's very cathartic. And if you have that experience, and again, not just in the Facebook group, but if you have the experience of needing to get this entire thing out of you and like put it somewhere and like almost like vomiting, right? And I don't mean that in like a negative, like, oh, they're just vomiting their shit, whatever. Like, no. Like, really, like, you have to vomit out all of the toxins that you have been absorbing and that are in your, you know, inside of you. And you want and need to get it out of you and into a safe place. You should be in therapy, because a Facebook group or like your friends or whatever, right? They're not actually trained or designed to hold that in a way that is efficient or effective or actually healing for you. If you have this experience of like, there's something inside of me that I need to get out and I need to tell somebody the whole story and like, right? All of that. And you need a safe place. I mean, look, my Facebook group is as safe as they come. It is. We work so hard and diligently to maintain the sanctity and all of those things, right? At the end of the day, it's a Facebook group. And I'm in there as often as I can. We have therapists in there. But, you know, this is just a Facebook group. So what I want you to do is hire a coach or hire a therapist and make sure that this is someone who is trained in whatever it is that you need. If it's, you know, healing from narcissistic trauma, then find someone that has that expertise. Find someone who is trained in being able to hold and help you process trauma. You may want to work with a therapist who does EMDR. You know, and I know that for many, this is out of reach. There are a lot of options out there these days for low-cost therapy, online therapy, those sorts of things. And if you live in an area where you just can't find someone who has the advanced training, and I have a podcast episode with Katie Thompson where we talk about how to choose a good therapist. And I really want you to listen to that again, because you want to look for someone. Not all therapists are created equal, right? They're not like, we sort of deify therapists like, oh, they're a therapist, so they're amazing. No, they need to have advanced training in the thing that you need. You would not go to, a regular generic therapist for an eating disorder. You would not go to an eating disorder therapist to help you process childhood abuse, right? Like you need to find someone who has advanced training in the thing that you need. So I guess this is sort of a conversation about you really finding the proper tools to use towards your healing, right? So you're going to have education, like listening to podcasts, reading books, all of those things. You need to educate yourself on all of this. There's stuff that you don't know, whether it's going through a divorce or healing from narcissistic trauma or, you know, healing from an eating disorder or whatever it is. You need to get educated on the thing that you're in the middle of experiencing and maybe don't really know a whole lot about. So the first thing you want to do is get educated. And part of that education is going to be, what do I actually need to heal? And in some cases, you really need a therapist. In some cases, a coach might be better suited. If you have been doing the work in therapy and you're kind of at a place where you're like, okay, I get it. And I've healed a lot, but like, now what? How do I put that into action? What do I do with all of this? That's where a coach is really useful. You know, you may need a coach. Where do I need a support group? Where would I just need like somewhere to connect with other people, right? That would be my Facebook group. Where do I need to like a support group of people who really get it? And I think that a lot of people are starting to use my Facebook group as a substitute for a lot of the other modalities. And I really, really, really want to encourage you, whether you're in my Facebook group or someone else's, right? I really want to encourage you to use the appropriate modality for the appropriate thing. A therapist for therapy things, a coach for coachy things, and Facebook for Facebooky things, right? And there's really a difference for all of these things.
You guys, warmer, sunnier days are calling, and you're going to want to fuel up for them with Factor's no prep, no mess meals. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are dietitian approved, and they're ready to eat in just 2 minutes. So no matter how busy you are, you're always going to have time to enjoy nutritious, great tasting meals. And I know that's really important to you guys right now. You're going through a hard time. You're in emotional upheaval, maybe some chaos, really good, healthy, nutritious meals in 2 minutes. And I'm telling you, they're so good. You've got 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from every week. And you'll always have new flavors to explore. Treat yourself to restaurant quality meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, blackened salmon. Ugh, so good, you guys. So head to factormeals.com/DSG50 and use code DSG50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next month. So the code is DSG50 at factormeals.com/DSG50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active.
When it comes to raising kids, there's so much to consider. Things like, what do we feed them? When do we feed them? How do they sleep? What does it look like to raise kind kids? How does their nervous system work? How do I keep myself calm? What are my triggers? There's so much that comes into play. And we are distilling all of that information for you at Voices of Your Village podcast, where we bring experts in the field of early childhood and education and psychology and across the board so that you don't have to comb the internet for information. You get to show up and hang out and have shame-free, judgment-free conversations and insights into what it looks like to raise kind, empathetic, emotionally intelligent humans. I'm Alyssa Blask Campbell. I have a master's degree in early childhood education. I'm a mom of two, and I am walking this journey right alongside you doing this work. Come hang out with me at Voices of Your Village, and we can dive into real conversations with actionable tips.
Look, I think as with divorce, you know, Susan Guthrie and I often talk about the team approach to divorce, right? Like having a team in place. Like your attorney is not your therapist. Your attorney is not your divorce coach, right? Your divorce coach, I do not deal with legal things because, first of all, laws are different in every state and every county. So you need to speak to your attorney about the legal things, but I will help you with strategy and all sorts of other things that perhaps an attorney can't or won't. A therapist will help you with, you know, aspects of healing and the emotional processing that, again, an attorney or a coach isn't necessarily best suited for. At the end of the day, if you're here with me, you're probably in crisis, right? Like a lot of this is crisis management. And in a crisis, you need a team and you need the right team. And so I really want you to think about what your team needs to be at this point. Do you need a therapist? Do you need a coach? Do you need, you know, a financial analyst, a CDFA, certified divorce financial analyst? Do you need a support group? Do you need a Facebook group? Great. Perfect. But make sure you're using each member of your team in the most effective way, right? We're so exhausted by all of this, right? And we kind of want to take the easy way out. And for many people, this is the first time that they've ever had to face any of these things. And this is all new information. And maybe an online support group is like the easy button, right? Like, let me just start there. But it ends up not being the easy button when you don't have the proper supports in place. I really wanted to address that in particular. We've had a lot of really, 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 really long posts come up in our Facebook group. I'm talking 17, 18 paragraphs. And if you feel the need to write a 17 or 18 paragraph post in a Facebook group, that is an indication that you need therapy or a coach. You need one-on-one help. A Facebook group is not the appropriate venue for that much processing, to be honest. Again, it sounds like I'm talking about my Facebook group, and I am, but this is also really important information for, I think, the general public, right? For everybody, because we all have groups, whether it's a friendship group or a support group or whatever. You know, we all have whatever the equivalent is of a Facebook group in our life, and we just want to be utilizing each of those things appropriately. And I also feel like sometimes when we're in this level of trauma or stress, we need a lot of handholding because we're fucking tired. And unfortunately, this is the time for you to, like, it's almost like the last push, right? Like, let's, shore yourself up, take care of yourself as best you can, really implement as much self-care as you can, eat well. And when I say eat well, by the way, I don't mean like just fruits and vegetables. I mean, eat things that are nourishing and serving you, and listen to your body. And if that means that you want to have cake because it comforts you, then that is absolutely fine, because I also come to this from an eating disorder healing background. So I'm saying actually be consciously aware of yourself and how you're nourishing yourself. And, you know, comfort food is a real thing for a real fucking reason. And it, because it comforts us. And when we need comfort, we should have comfort food. But also make sure you're drinking a ton of water. Make sure you're surrounding yourself with people who are feeding you as much as possible. And, you know, I really struggle with this. I have a lot of outputs in my life, as you can imagine. There are a lot of ways in which I give in my life. I have a, you know, 16-year-old. So that's like a constant and appropriate place for, you know, my energy to be funneling out of me. I also have an 80-year-old mother and an 80-year-old father. There are other people in my life and other places where I notice that, like, by the end of my time that I spend with them, I'm exhausted and they haven't asked about me. And I, you know, and it's like, oh, hold on a minute. And I notice that I have a lot of places that I put out in my life. And there are not a lot of places where there's input. There's a lot of tubes that are going out of me and into others, and not very many places where the tubes actually go into me and where I get fed. And this is something that I'm really looking at a lot in my life right now. This is because this is just the way I was raised. And so kind of what I'm used to is like the constant output and not really being emotionally fed. It's something that feels kind of normal to me. And the growth for me is that I notice how exhausted I am, and I notice how it doesn't feel good anymore. And this has been a process over the last 10 years of me kind of looking around my world and going, that doesn't feel good. That just fucking doesn't feel good. Or I'm exhausted. Why am I so exhausted right now? Oh my God, because it was another funnel out. And whether that's by absorbing other people's energy or whatever, because I am a highly sensitive person. And so that's like a, you know, a thing that I do. I'm a sponge. I absorb all this shit. And that's what makes me really good at my job. But I also have to have boundaries and parameters around that. And I think that so a lot of us who are codependent, like, this is what we do. We absorb all of the shit from other people. Right? We're sponges. Codependents, we tend to tie our worth to how well we're able to please others. You know, we deny our own emotions and we feel a lot of shame. Because, of course, you know, in our growing up, we learned that our emotions are invalid, that our, I mean, we weren't fed emotionally, right? And so now what we do is we make sure everybody's okay and we please them because we get our, derive our sense of self and our worth to pleasing others and feeding others and absorbing things from others. And then we're really fucking tired. And then we get really fucking angry. And then we're like, you know, fuck everybody, right? And the growth is in catching it before it gets to that point, before all the resentments build, and understanding that it's actually our boundaries, you know, like, these are all my boundaries that I have to work on. And so, you know, I say this because I really want you guys to have this awareness as well. I want you to find proper places for you to be feeding yourself and supporting yourself and taking care of yourself so that you don't go through life absorbing everybody else's shit and then find yourself like on the floor, catatonic, in a rage, because you have nothing fucking left to give anybody. Your boundaries are the things, right? Your self-care are the things that are going to prevent you from getting to that point. Because other people are just going to, you know, they're going to siphon all the energy they can out of you for as long as they can, because they can, right? And we got to hold those boundaries. We have to say, like, actually, I know that I can't spend, it doesn't mean you have to cut people out of your life or whatever, but it's like, oh, okay. I just spent 3 days with somebody who is a good friend. I love them, but their energy really does like suck from me. And so it exhausts me. And so, okay, so next time I see them, like maybe I have to do things differently, right? It doesn't mean like I can't be friends with that person. It just means like, okay, I need to do that differently next time because I need to take care of myself, right? I don't need to be mad at the other person. I just need to do it differently for myself. And I also need to look around my life and go, okay, who are the people that actually feed me? Who are the people whose siphoning tubes, like, I mean, it shouldn't be a siphon, right? It's like actually reciprocal, where I get as much from the friendship or the relationship as I'm giving. And I got to tell you, there are very few people in my life like that. Very few. I'm consciously leaning into those relationships more and more these days because I find myself so exhausted by the number of relationships that go the other way. And some of them are, like I said, with my son, like totally appropriate, you know? And some of them are just really not, but they're people that are in my life to stay, you know? And so I got to take care of myself. And I want that for you too. I want you to take care of yourself. I want you to find the relationships that feel reciprocal to you. And I want you to experience more and more of what that feels like, because that's the goal. That's what we're going for. We're going for reciprocity. We're looking at trying to weed out or spend less time with the people that feel like an energy drain and any energy suck. If you walk away from coffee with a friend or dinner or night out with a friend and you feel fucking exhausted, that's a good indication that they've worn you out, that they've drained you, that they may not be as interested. See if you can notice like how long it takes before somebody asks about you and what's going on with you. Like truly, like I have gone on trips with people and at the end of it been like, that person doesn't even know that I got a book deal. Not because they didn't read my Facebook post or listen to my podcast, because they didn't fucking ask anything about what's going on with me. And if they'd asked, it would be the first thing I would say, probably. If I realize that someone doesn't know one of the biggest things that's going on in my life right now, it's probably because they didn't ask.
No one told us the truth about parenthood. Why? This is the podcast everyone needed before they had kids, because now that those little ones are here, whew, there is a lot to unpack. I'm Rachel Shepardota, and I am your host for the podcast No One Told Us, where we tell the truth about parenting and let you in on all the stuff you really should have known about before having kids. I am the founder of Hey Sleepy Baby, but this podcast is so much more than sleep. We'll be diving into all the topics that you really care about and need to know while you do your best job raising those adorable, tiny humans. Our goal is to just make you feel less alone and less overwhelmed. There are so many things that no one tells us before becoming a parent, and I think that we should really pull back the curtain on becoming a first-time or second-time mom or dad to share the good, the bad, and the ugly. We'll have a little education, a little fun, and a whole lot of heart that goes into each and every episode. So join me and our amazing guests each week to hear us talk about what no one told us.
Hey there, I'm Debbie Reber, the founder of Tilt Parenting and the author of the book Differently Wired. The mission of Tilt is to change the way neurodivergence, whether that's having a learning disability, having ADHD, being gifted, autistic, or some combination of all of the above, is perceived and experienced so differently wired kids and the parents like us raising them can truly thrive. On the Tilt Parenting Podcast, I get to talk with authors, therapists, educators, and parenting experts who are committed to this mission. I ask the questions my listeners are most curious about when it comes to supporting our kids. And in turn, my guests share strategies for challenges, out-of-the-box ideas for navigating school, best practices for therapies, tips for advocating, and so many thoughtful insights on what it really takes to help our kids grow up feeling seen and respected so they can create awesome lives for themselves. I know that raising a differently wired kid can feel overwhelming and isolating, but I promise you, you are not alone, and it can feel so much better. If you're on this parenting journey, come listen to Tilt Parenting. Together, we can shift this paradigm and show up for our exceptional kids with hope, possibility, and joy.
I had dinner with a friend after the week I got my book deal. I had dinner with a friend and we sat at dinner and she started crying. And she was gushing and going on about how proud she was of me and how she had watched me build my business over 10 years. She had been in the thick of it with me. She had, you know, been my friend when I had no money, and she would just take me out and buy me drinks when I was drinking and like buy me dinner. And she supported me and she loved me, and it was totally reciprocal. And she's like, I'm so proud of you, and I've watched you build this, and I'm so, and it was the kind of acknowledgement that almost no one else in my life had given me, including my parents. Especially my parents. And it wasn't until she had that reaction and was so proud of me and was so like specifically focused on making sure I felt her love and pride that I realized how much that was lacking in so many other areas of my life. And like how I, you know, she's like, are your parents this proud of you? And I was like, I mean, maybe, but they certainly didn't express it, kind of thing, right? And it wasn't until I had this from this one friend that I was like, oh, that's missing in other areas of my life. And I need to look at that. And it was really a moving moment, a deeply moving moment for me, and really eye-opening. That is to say, that, you know, these are the things and the people and the experiences that we need right now, that you need right now, as you are going through, whether you're going through making the decision, whether you're going through getting divorced, right? You need the people who are going to show up for you in really important ways. A lot of your friends are going to have really fucked up reactions, mostly because, you know, if you tell people that you're getting divorced and they like freak out, if they get really weird, all of that, like, just know it's not about you. It's about the mirror that you may be holding up to them and their relationships that they don't want to look in. It's fear. It's whatever it is. It has nothing to do with you, and they're going to make it about you. And those are not your people right now. That may be, for me, that was my two best friends of 20 years I had to take a break from during my divorce because of their reactions to me. And one of them I do not speak to, my actual best friend for 20 years, my college roommate. We don't speak anymore. Been about 10 years. And the other one, we are still friends, and we sort of healed and repaired. And it took a really long time, but it took about 10 years. So, and they had these really, really, really big reactions to my divorce. And then within 6 months and a year, both of them were getting divorced. And so it was 100% about them, and they both admitted it. But it was really painful for me because I fucking needed them. So be conscious, keep the focus on yourself as much as possible. I want you, as you go through this period, to keep the focus as much as possible on yourself and your feelings, how you are feeling around people. Do you feel tired? Do you feel drained? Or do you feel fed and nourished by their energy and the experience of being in their presence? Are you... at the same token, like doing sort of showing up for, you know, in the right places so that you're not draining the energy and posting like a 16, 17 paragraph post in a Facebook group, right? Because that's an energy drain. So are you utilizing the proper resources and the proper people to kind of shore yourself up and have the proper supports in place while you're going through this really huge transitional time in your life? You know, and that goes for time as well, right? How are you utilizing and spending your time? Where are you resting? You know, I think I've talked about this before, or I've posted about it or something, about how my therapist was like, so let's talk about when you rest. And I was like, I don't know, all the time. I don't work. And then I like paint my bathroom, or like I redo my house, or, and then I do this. And then she's like, okay, that's not rest. And I'm like, well, it's not work. She's like, okay, rest is when you literally do fucking nothing. And I was like, does watching Dateline count? And she's like, I don't know, does that feel restful to you? And honestly, sometimes it really does. So making sure that you are, you know, you've got emotional and mental energy, and you've got physical energy, and you're going to need a lot more rest in this period than you think. Rest could be meditation. It could be yoga. It could be lying on your floor for 10 minutes every day and staring at the ceiling. That would be amazing because you need it. You won't always, but right now you probably do. So, all right, my loves, I think I've gone on about that enough. To recap, I want to make sure that you are utilizing all of the proper support tools available to you in the proper ways. And I want you to, and that includes friendships, and then surrounding yourself with people that really are supportive to you. And if you are codependent, and if you have a history of being in a narcissistic or abusive relationship, you may be looking around at all of your friendships and being like, oh my God, none of them. Right? Because that's normal. That it is normal that you would be attracting similar people or narcissists in your friendship circle as you did in your relationships. Like, that's just what we do. So if that's the case, that's okay. You don't need to do anything about it drastically right now, but just start to look around and start to notice how you feel in all interactions. And this is about slowing down. This is about taking your own inventory. This is about taking your own temperature and really becoming self-aware. And when I say self-aware, I mean like actually aware of how you feel, noticing the experiences that you're having in your body, when and where you feel drained, when and where you feel energized. This is a mindfulness exercise. This is about being present and being present to your own experience. All right, my loves, that's what I have to say to you this week. I hope that the start of school has been successful for most of you. It's been a bit of a shit show around here, but, you know, we're plugging through. And I will see you next time on the Divorce Survival Guide podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Divorce Survival Guide podcast. If you like what you hear, head on over to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen in and leave me a review. And don't forget to follow me on Instagram at The Divorce Survival Guide. I'll see you next time. And until then, remember, you, my love, deserve to be happy.
Feel like you're the martyr in your family? You're not alone. Hey, this is Joanne.
And Brie.
And we're from the No Guilt Mom podcast. Brie, we talk to a lot of moms.
Yeah, we sure do.
And if you're a mom who has a to-do list that is so massive that you get overwhelmed and you shut down.
Or if you fall into the habit of doing everything for everyone and don't know how to change it, we can help you become a no-guilt mom.
We're going to take you from family martyr to family model. That's role model, so that you role model the behavior that you want to see out of your kids.
You're going to go from being tired and overwhelmed to energized and guilt-free.
Every week, you'll get actionable strategies that you can implement right away from the experts that we interview and from us.
We also have a whole lot of fun, so check out the No Guilt Mom podcast everywhere you listen to your favorite shows.